Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the 14-year anniversary of Cloverleaf Radio. Founded on March 5th, 2008, by Jimmy Falcon, a.k.a. James McLovin Falcon, as originally known on the show, or the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. But Ian, the real man behind Jimmy Falcon and Cloverleaf Radio, has put his heart and soul into this brand, into the show, into the fans, into the interviews, and into the guests themselves. We hope that you enjoy this retrospective of a 14-year career. I know that I've enjoyed it, and I hope you guys have as well. We're going to be playing clips from shows going all the way back to, 2008? There's going to be clips, promos, interviews. We also have some retrospectives that I've done as of late with just catching up with some past guests and getting their opinions and getting some well wishes. So it's been a great ride, and I've been working on this show for months. So we're here and we're ready to go. So I hope you guys are too. There's probably going to be a couple songs in it as well. And I hope you just enjoy the ride, because there's going to be some funny stuff. There's going to be some, not very good stuff. Of course, I wasn't the best in 2008 when I started off. But with time and practice, it will make perfect. So always remember that. Listen to the good of this, listen to the bad, and just realize that with growth and time, things will happen. Thanks.
Hey, this is voiceover actor and creamed corn enthusiast Wally Wingert. Just wanted to wish my good friend, the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and Cloverleaf Radio a very happy 14th anniversary! Way to go, guys! Woohoo!
Hi, I'm Mike Pollock, the voice of Dr. Eggman from Sonic the Hedgehog, and so much more. 14 years of Cloverleaf Radio... Where is the time gone? Oh, there it is. Congratulations, Cloverleaf Radio. And Clarence, let's go grab a coffee sometime.
Hey, this is Ron Thompson. You may remember me as Tony and Pete. Ralph Bakshi's American Pop, or maybe even Beretta, in which I was Robert Blake's sidekick, Nupke. Anyway, you are listening to Cloverleaf Radio's 14th anniversary. Wowzer! Congratulations to the gang and all the years. Here's to continued success.
Canadian TV series Degrassi and Trailer Park Boys, also Orphan Black, 12 Monkeys, and American Gods. And I'm here to wish Jimmy Falcon happy 14th anniversary with Cloverleaf Radio.
Hi, this is actor-comedian Charlie Rossman. You probably remember me from one or more of my 300-plus projects that include Superbad, Criminal Minds, CSI, and a lot of other stuff. I want to wish Jimmy Falcon and Cloverleaf a very happy, just one short of 15th anniversary. Happy 14th, Jimmy.
This is Clarence Cloverleaf, and I don't quite know how I'm supposed to wish Cloverleaf Radio a 14-year anniversary. In this long life of mine, there have been a lot of things I've seen. And the older I get, I found out that the showmanship is only on the side. I sit here in my lavish townhouse in Brickhampton, North Yankton, off the coast of Frickentam, Dorchandire, England. And I want to thank Jimmy in a lot of ways for, well, creating me. Quite frankly, I don't know where I would be, per se, if Jimmy Falcon and Cloverleaf Radio hadn't created me. I would not have existed, that's what I would have been. And the fact that I keep getting older and I swear my voice keeps changing makes me ponder the facts. Good people are good people, and a good laugh is always worth its weight in gold. Happy 14 years, Cloverleaf Radio, and remember to always be yourself. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the 14-year show. Good day to you!
Hey, everybody, AJ Benzie here. You might know me from my old TV show, Mysteries and Scandals. Many of you might be in the know and listening to my podcast, Fame is a Bitch. But either way, what I'm here to tell you is you ought to be goddamn happy that Cloverleaf Radio is celebrating 14 years of giving you the goods.
Alrighty, we are back with the 14-year anniversary show of Cloverleaf Radio, and it is an absolute honor to talk to you once again, Sherry Holly. How are you, Sherry?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, kind of snowed in.
Yeah, we are too.
But had to stop a minute from getting that snow out of the way and come talk to you. Gosh, it's been so long since I had you on the show originally. I guess it was 2014, I think, and then let me interview your father, which is a huge blessing to get to talk to you guys, growing up such a fan of Buddy Holly and his music. What are some of your fondest memories of your buddy, of your Uncle Buddy and your dad as well, and the whole Holly family?
Well, probably about Buddy. He used to carry me around and sing to me, and also he would go on fishing trips with the family, and I can actually remember some of those fishing trips. And one of them was in Creed, Colorado. We had camped out on the Rio Grande and got to go fishing with Uncle Buddy. And actually, it was kind of strange. We were scared of the bears, so we slept on top of our cars.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's got to be something. In Illinois, we don't have any bears, so I mean, you just don't see things like that around here.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing, huh?
Yeah, it is. And being that your dad, people might not realize that you, your uncle had two brothers and a sister.
That's correct. Uh huh. Okay.
And your dad is the last one, 96 years young. But being Buddy's oldest brother, he had a lot of, he inspired him a lot, and it seemed like your uncle inspired your dad as well in many ways.
That's true. They were really close, and my dad was a big part of Buddy's musical career, I feel, because he bought him some of his first guitars, and he always liked Buddy's music really well. He really didn't have anything critical to say about it, because he said Buddy was the best, you know.
Yeah, and that's got to be hard being the older brother. You probably want to be able to tell your younger brother what you need to improve on, but I mean, if he was doing good out the gate, then what did your dad have to tell him, really?
He didn't really have anything to tell him, just that he was doing a great job, you know.
That's great. And gosh, I'm trying to think of what else. We haven't even been 3 minutes yet. My goodness. But I just thought it would be nice to reconnect with you again, since I'm doing this 14-year show, and trying to find some faces I've interviewed in the past, and I always enjoyed having you on the show and your dad as well, so I wanted to be sure and contact you to do a little something.
Well, I appreciate that. You had mentioned a little bit a while ago about my dad's influence on me. Yes, he's been a tremendous influence on me as far as my music. He can tell me, you know, pretty much if he likes a song or not, pretty much. Like if I write a song, he'll know whether it's gonna be a good one or not, I guess, because he'll let me know. And that's always good news. I like constructive criticism, and he's doing real well, by the way.
That's great to hear. You know, I feel like the older you get, to be able to be doing very well is very awesome, and it's great to hear. There's a lot of blessings, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
And I guess wrapping up, I always ask people what the future holds. I'm guessing you're still very much making music and recording and stuff. So tell anybody what you're doing these days, Sherry.
Well, we recorded an album over in England about 2.5 years ago. And it's called Sherry Holly Remembers, and it was with a British band. I didn't really know that we were going to do it, but I went over to do some shows, and it's a really good album. We did all Buddy songs, and now I'm also working on a blues album that most of them consist of songs I've written, but there'll be a few original songs in there too.
Wow, that's very cool. I know I can't think of the exact song it was, but one I played on the show many times when you came on and after was a cover of one of Buddy's songs. But your voice is fantastic, Sherry. I think your whole family was very musically inclined.
Well, I appreciate that. Enjoy doing it, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. If you do something so long and it's in your heart and soul, then there's got to be a love for it. But thank you so much for joining me, and best of luck with the weather and health and all that fun stuff.
Okay, well, thank you, and it's been really nice talking to you.
You as well.
Hello, this is actor Peter Elbling. You may remember me from co-writing such movies as Big Baby, which became director Randall Kleiser's Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, or acting in films and TV shows such as Once Bitten, starring a young Jim Carrey, The Man with Two Brains, Baby Boom, Barney Miller, V, The Alien Invasion, and so many more in a 5-decade career. You're listening to Jimmy Falcon and Cloverleaf Radio on this, the 14th anniversary extravaganza. Best wishes to many more years to come, and congratulations, Ian, on those years already passed.
How's it going, guys? It is the host of most, the king of the quarantine, Jimmy Falcon, and, well, I can't believe we made 14 years with Cloverleaf Radio. It's quite amazing, isn't it? Well, at least it amazes me because, at least when I started back on March 5th, 2008, podcasting wasn't really a thing. I actually didn't know what the term podcasting meant until about 2017, I believe. It was always internet radio, or it was always my radio show. Hell, I still call it my radio show. I think that's because I started out on Blog Talk Radio, where you had the option for live callers, a chat room, and so on and so forth. It was my first place I could actually have my archives, because when I started, I was out at Lakeland College here in Mattoon, recording in one of the spare rooms. It was just kind of a whim kind of a thing one day. I'd been in the radio department for like a year. It was almost a year, because I started in August of 07. And I was still really fresh, still really, really green, as we call it in the wrestling business. And I was just not quite where I wanted to be. And of course, if you start off doing anything, it's going to take you a while to become good at what you do. And if you want to get good at it, and you have enough, if you have enough love for something, if it's something you could put enough time aside to do, it's also very good. So I don't know. I love professional wrestling. I was part of pro wrestling from 2006 to 2009. and I was only 18 years old when I started the show. It's amazing. I had just turned 18 in December of 2006. It still amazes me that it's been 14 years. It's been longer than any job I've had, longer than any relationship, and longer than any dogs I've had have lived, actually, I'd say. I'm not married, so it's not, you know, I don't have an anniversary or anything like that. So this is my child. This is my anniversary. This is my baby. I do have a wonderful girlfriend, Angel, and I care so much for her, but it's kind of weird how you can start off doing something, do it 14 years, build it up, get better at it. And, you know, we've had listeners from all over the world. Just naming off countries, of course. The United States of America, close to 100% listenership in the United States of America. Thank you guys so much. But we're also heard in, Canada, Mexico. What about Bahrain? Scotland? Oh, my goodness. Japan. Just trying to think off the top of my head. Even like not the continental United States. Alaska, Hawaii. My goodness, just so many countries. Singapore, I remember Singapore coming up. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for supporting the JIA network as well. I couldn't have done this without my dear friends, Josh and Ariana. They have been my friends now for, 5 years, and we've been working hard on this network now since 2018. Kind of building it over from what the remnants, I'll call it, of the Cloverleaf Radio Network. And just kind of helping, getting my friends involved, and they'd already had a radio show themselves, or a podcast. See, here I go with the radio show thing. They already had a podcast themselves, Night Moves Radio, on a different network. I actually moved the Hollywood Connection to said network for a while. It was actually over there for about close to a year, I'd say. And I made sure and downloaded every episode before I lost access to that guy's Blog Talk, because I knew that it wasn't going to work out. I mean, I've been my own boss with this thing for so long that I'm not, you know, I can take criticism. I can take, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, good amounts of help. But if you're going to sit here and downgrade my product, if you're going to sit here and try to curse me out, or whether it's either over a phone call, whether it's through a text message, or whether it's through just a Facebook message or email, that is when I've had it. That is the end of the line. You know, you can only be professional for so long, excuse me, you can only be a pro so long, and that's about the time it's over for me. But about 4.5 minutes in now, and this is just a little clip. I kind of wanted to get to the bottom of why I started Cloverleaf and kind of the history on it, because a lot of people ask me that, and I go, well, gosh, you must not listen to the show very much. But I guess, you know, thinking back, I didn't ever really get into it and give a full-blown explanation. And for the 14th year episode, why not? Alrighty, guys. Stay tuned for more fantastic stuff here on the Cloverleaf Radio 14-year anniversary show. We've got so much stuff in this show. It's jam-packed. It's probably going to be the longest show that I've had on Cloverleaf in close to 6 years. I remember doing like two-hour-long podcasts a long time ago. But that was when it was all live, and none of this stuff was pre-recorded. So thank goodness I have those capabilities now. But stay tuned. More coming at you. Classic stuff from the archives. I got clips from my interviews with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle. We got the full interview with David Hester from 2010. My goodness. Clips going up from 2011. Clips and promos going from 2008 to 2022. And lots of congratulations wishes coming from our past alumni. So keep it right here. And as always, thank you everybody for listening. And continue to have a great night or day, whatever time you're listening.
Hey, fans and friends, this is Jonathan Joss. You may know me as John Redcorn from King of the Hill, Ken Atote of Parks and Recreation, or even Denali from Magnificent Seven. And if you're really old like me, hell, you'll remember me from, well, Walker, Texas Ranger. I want to give a shout-out to Cloverfield Radio Show for 14 years of successful airing. Damn, brother, you're old, too.
Alrighty, we are back on the 14-year anniversary show of Cloverleaf Radio.
And it's an absolute honor to talk to this man again. I think I've interviewed him a couple times, at least twice. He has the Guinness World Record for the most special effect makeup characters portrayed in a career. And it's Bill Blair.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Very good. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, think about
that was a mouthful. Yeah, it's a very long title.
I know if I kept reading the biography, I could have just kept going because you've done so many awesome things in a long career.
Well, I've had a few decades of having some fun. It's been one little thing after another for so much, with the special effects going clear back. The most notable first one that I did was playing Mr. Spock in a live stage show. Was a event promotion for the then very small company known as Oracle Software.
That's a legendary character.
Yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable. And then later on, I actually finally got to work with Leonard in a music video of all things with Bruno Mars.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, it's amazing how one thing can lead and eventually come all the way back around. People ask me a lot of times about sitting in the makeup chair and how do you do that and everything. That's so long. And I said, well, I started out as a kid when I just would sit on the living room floor watching cartoons on Saturday mornings for hours and never move.
Right. I feel like that's where I kind of learned to do impressions. Just watching people and the characters and movies you love, and then just after a while you're going to talk like those characters if you work at it hard enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of famous voice actors who have done exactly that and have taken over some real major cartoon characters from decades ago when that person eventually passed away and somebody had to step into those shoes, and you wouldn't know that there had been any change. They got it down so well. It's been a fun time, and it's nice to be back here with you again and to help you celebrate your 14th anniversary. I mean, that's a long time these days for some shows on the air, and you should feel very proud, and big congratulations to you for those many years and having me on the show, yes, a couple of times.
Yeah, I can think back to the first time was around 2013, and then I feel like sometimes after the second, third, fourth, it's hard to remember how many times I've interviewed someone. But yeah, we also spoke about recently about Doug Jones, who's also known for many mass characters and just the ability to play just about anybody, which you have that ability as well. How do you think about Doug as an actor? I know you have quite a fondness for him as a person and as an actor.
Oh. I have the most and deepest admiration and respect for what Doug does, and I know what he goes through. I am so happy for the recognition. He just recently received the first chair award from the Hair and Makeup Guild this past week. I wish I could watch him more, but unfortunately, I'm one of those people, I just don't use the streaming services, so I don't get to see Star Trek Discovery. When it comes out on DVD, I'll be snatching it up just because I want to see him.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been a Trekkie. I was never really into Star Wars, and people go, well, have you seen any Star Wars? And I said, yeah, Phantom Menace, and that's kind of where their scowl begins.
Yeah. No, I remember Doug back, well, it wasn't his first one, but the most notable one that I remember when I first became aware of him was when he played Billy in Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. Hocus Pocus and Pan's Labyrinth, and he's done a lot of great
things. And that was one of those really crazy, not easy to do makeups. I mean, with, obviously the special effects of him actually cutting his mouth open from the large stitches and everything of the Halloween look. And that was done by Tony Gardner. And interestingly enough, I ended up working with Tony Gardner many years later. He's a well-known makeup artist and studio, has done tons and tons of things. I ended up working with him later on a show, a little known thing called Batman and Robin, where I was actually the prototype of how they were going to make everybody in that movie look frozen.
Wow.
So somewhere out there in a Warner Brothers vault, if it still exists, because I asked Tony, he wasn't able to get it. Warner Brothers kept it. There is a full-size twin of me as the frozen Gotham City garbage collector.
Oh, wow.
And that's one I would have loved to have gotten my hands on that and stuck it in the corner of my home somewhere.
Yeah, you could have put some blue lights or something behind it. Creep people out.
Yeah. But, I mean, decorate it for Halloween. Oh, yeah. Stick it in front of the window.
You know, Christmas time, Christmas comes around, you can put it on a cart around the tree and mimic like Home Alone. And...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the industry that I, in the side of the industry that I ended up finding myself in, it's just really, it's so much fun. I've gotten to play so many characters. Granted, 99 point whatever percent never spoke a word. But it's so much fun. It's literally like playing charades every day. I got to, communicate an emotion, a character, to carry the scene through without sharing any dialogue. And some people don't realize. They ask me. A lot of times I get asked, how do you do all that? And I say, well, think about it. Have you ever played the game charades? You have to communicate a movie, a song title, or something. Mm-hmm. With only gestures, with only your facial expressions and your body language. That's basically what I do when I'm in those costumes.
Yeah, it's
and
that's
it really
pretty
can be a lot of fun. There's a real good creative side to that. Just overall, the world record being at 202 that I set about 10 years or so ago. And I've had some interest from people that want to know what the current record is. I don't have an official number, but it's somewhere around 220 or so.
Wow.
And I just don't know if I've got the energy anymore. It took me 4 years to compile all the information.
Wow.
That the people at Guinness wanted to authenticate this because it was a brand new category. They'd never had anything like this. I didn't break a record. I actually established it. Wow. And there's a little story behind that people want to write to me, or they see me at a convention, feel free to ask the question. I try to make myself as accessible to people as possible when I'm out and about. I'm very fortunate, unlike Doug and some other people, that because of what the majority of my work has always been, I can walk around town, I can go to the stores, and nobody knows who I am, really, in those venues. There was one time, though, at Disney World, my brother had gone with me, and granted, he and I were both wearing our Babylon 5 stuff at the time, but the young man at one of the attractions actually approached me because he recognized me specifically from one of my scenes in Babylon 5, and it was shortly after he started speaking to me, he found out why his employers and bosses said, if you see somebody from TV and movie, remember, they're here on vacation. Do not go up to them. And sure enough, as soon as he started talking to me and the people were behind me in line, all of a sudden my brother had to become the one-man entourage. Everybody wanted pictures. It was kind of fun. My brother was telling him, don't worry about it. He doesn't mind this kind of stuff. But when it was all over, said and done with, I gave him an autograph and I said, now you know why your boss is. Imagine if I'd been Harrison Ford or something like that, that was there kind of incognito. It would have been a mass of things. Because even later on in the park, I was walking through and somebody else who had been on that ride came back up and said, oh, I didn't get my picture. Can I get a picture now? But it's okay. I mean, if it wasn't, and this is, I want to congratulate you again on your 14 years, but I also want to thank all the fans, all the people that have watched me throughout the years and have enjoyed my performances, because if it wasn't for you fans watching, it wasn't for you coming back week after week to see what we were doing, I wouldn't have had a really great job that I've had over the decades. So it's because of you that have kept me going, and I'm very grateful for that.
Absolutely. You know, going back while we finish up to, you know, saying a lot of the characters you played didn't speak, but those characters still in the look and the form that they did, and what you did in those films and shows is memorable. And it, I feel like a lot of times those characters that don't speak in movies, you're waiting for them to say something, and if they don't, you're kind of just disappointed. But it adds to the mystique.
Yeah. And there's a lot of characters throughout the years that were a regular recurring character on the show that finally the producers and everybody said, it's probably time this guy said something. And he became one of the main, you know, supporting principal characters in the show. And that makes me so happy to see that people recognize that. And it happened to me several times in shows where I was so prominent, you know, and I was in the scene that, yeah, you know, he's got to say something. You know, he just can't stand there. It really looks stupid. And that's what happened with Argo, with Ben Affleck. Their cast grew as the show went on because Ben believed that people just don't stand there and not respond when spoken to or have something going on. That cast, I believe, grew to over 140 characters that were credited in the end credits of the movie. Mine was kind of planned ahead. When I went in for my fitting, I didn't know at the time, but I was told then, you've got a couple of lines in this. I said, really? Well, it'd be nice if that happens. And sure enough, second day on set, they said, okay, everybody, bring them around here. You five, here's your scripts. Here's what you're going to be doing. Wonderful. Yay. One of my more memorable times was working on that show and then also getting to play Frankenstein's monster. With Elvira so many years ago. It's, you know, just a thrill to play a classic Universal monster. And on top of that, there's a little bit of trivia that goes with that, and people can look that up on my website, alienactor.com, or just Google my name, Bill Blair, actor. I'm all over the internet. Nobody's after me, so it's easy to find me. But thank you for having me on again. It's been wonderful talking to you again, Ian. And congratulations once, final time. Cloverleaf Radio, wonderful 14 years. I hope you get at least another 10 times that when it goes into reruns down the road.
Alrighty, Bill, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and stay well, my friend.
Thank you. Be well. Enjoy.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Kenna McEnroe. Nina from Office Space. Congratulations on 14 years.
Hello, this is Brian K. Morris of the Rising Tide Broadcast Network and Rising Tide Publications. And I'm here to say some nice things about Jimmy Falcon. Actually, that's quite an easy thing to do. We met a few years ago at SILCON, I believe it was, in Mattoon, Illinois. Immediately hit it off. We set up side by side 1 year, but most of the time we got to talk to each other on his amazing podcast. Just want to say thank you for all the great interviews, my friend, and I look forward to many, many, many more years of great interviews and friendship. This is Brian K. Morris. Independent publisher, freelance writer-editor, award-winning playwright, Facebook-famous YouTuber, and former mortician's assistant, and I'm telling you that you're listening to Jimmy Falcon on Cloverleaf Radio. Why would you want to do anything else?